Okay, so Viv, we were just talking about some of your early memories and starting at the beginning. So were you born in the valley?
Yes, well, I mean, I guess strictly speaking, I was at Wellington Hospital, but yes, my parents came to the valley probably 55, 60 years ago, and over 2 years they built the house themselves, the two of them. And at that time, over the road where the Mannings lived, we grew up at the crossroads, they were building their house as well. So it sort of that pioneering spirit in the valley was very much present. There was a lot of in the valley, but my parents, I think, spent £200 and bought a half an acre section at the crossroads. And over 2 years, while they were working every weekend, they built the house by themselves and out of a book. My father bought a series of how to do it manuals, and that was very much the norm, I think, in those days.
As you say, very much that pioneering
pioneering
spirit.
spirit. Yeah, and then I was born here. Yes, definitely, I was born in the valley and raised in the valley. And we had an amazing child, really. We pretty much stayed in the valley. In those days, most people lived full time in the valley. A lot of farming people. The women tended to stay home and look and raise the children. A lot of the fathers would perhaps either work in the valley as labourers or on the roads or worked out of the valley. But that was definitely not the norm. Completely opposite to now, where most people work out of the valley and very few work in the valley. So my father worked in an accountancy firm in town, so he was in and out. He actually, my parents were divorced when I was four, so that was, I guess, in 1966, and so my mum, again, you know, a solo parent, was very unusual in those days, but it was such an amazing community. Everybody rallied round, and we, of course, went to the my brother, who's 2 years younger than me. We went to the Valley School, and in those days, the whole school from Primer 1 to Form 2 was all in one room. Yeah, and so it was getting pretty full. So they built the new classroom. So their primers were in one room, and then the big kids were in the other. But initially, the whole school, as I went right through from my primers to about standard two in one room. At that point, I went from Primer 1, as I say, to Form 2. So the teachers, I don't know how they did it really, because there was about 30 kids all in one room from primers to Form 2. But we had a great time, honestly. We would, at lunch times and play times, we'd be over the fence climbing trees or catching the sheep in the paddock and riding them into building forts. We played Bull Rush, you know, that's not, it's totally un-PC now. And so we had this big hill at school where everyone had run down, and it was like someone had break an arm irregularly or twist something, and everybody had both knees scuffed. Very rarely we were taken to school. We all rode bikes around the valley, and we lived a mile from the school, so we'd ride our bikes to school or we'd walk. I can vividly remember, actually, I was going through a very a bookwormy stage, and I'd be walking to school reading my books. I think I had a real thing on fairy tales at that. I was about seven, I think, and I walked to school reading my book. Yeah, so and a little bit later, I'd ride my horse to school. So all the kids had horses, and we'd ride, and I'd put the horse in the paddock next door for during the day. Yeah, and then the new schoolroom was built. And so I think it went from the primers were in one form, standard one to form two were in the other. And in those days, there was a roll of around 65 across the two classrooms. The school was very much the centre of the community, hugely so, because there was all the kids in the valley pretty much went to the valley school. There was some that were sent away to boarding school. Very few got taken every day out of the valley, as opposed to now, where the school shut down about 10 years ago, which is absolute tragedy because the numbers were dwindling so much. But now they ship and bus in children from outside to the school, which is still being used as a school for various, I'm not entirely sure exactly what, I think it's gifted children. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's sort of a group go there. So, yeah, so as I said, the school was very much part of the community. Everybody knew what car everyone else drove. You could wave and everyone knew everybody. And kids would be walking across the road and all the way home from school. And it was a very, very safe environment. And so it was wonderful. And every term there'd be either a fancy dress at the local hall. And our community hall has been there for over 100 years. So we'd have, I think one term we'd have a fancy dress, and then there'd be a, there's always an operetta, some kind of musical show, and they were incredibly exciting for the kids, for us. We'd practice, and every morning we'd be doing singing and what have you. And so it was a really, as I say, really community-based thing, and the whole valley would turn out for these school productions. And when you fire up the 6, 7, 8, the hall, which looks incredibly small now, was always huge. Mm. And probably the biggest show of the year was always the Christmas show. And we'd always put on some kind of show for the parents. And there was always an enormous Christmas tree at the back. And there was always a Father Christmas. And that was probably the most exciting moments in the whole on the whole evening. Because they'd always... They'd ring a bell. There was a school bell, of course, and it's still, actually, it's down in the hall now in a glass cabinet, but the school bell was always the one that was rung in the mornings and at lunchtimes. But Father Christmas would come, and I don't know, there must have been a whole lot of people outside shaking all these sleigh bells. So, and every child in the whole place would have a present, and it was great. And ladies bring a plate, classic country community. And there was this, we can remember as kids, just stuffing ourselves with cakes and whatever, this huge table groaning with food that all the ladies had brought. And it was, yeah, it was incredible. So and we'd always have a group, Guy Fawkes as well, November the 5th. A lot of our entertainment was local. And so the Guy Fawkes were absolutely amazing. We lived near the crossroads, and there was quite a few houses in that area. It's quite populated, whereas it was a bit more spaced out towards the other ends of the valley. But there was always a crossroads Guy Fawkes. It was a huge barbecue, huge bonfire, and you know, then we'd go and let off all these you know, sparklers and crackers and things. And there was several well-known pyro maniacs. Fathers, especially Jan Rotman, who just lived up the road, and Derek Roylands, who's still alive. Jan's unfortunately he's died since. And they'd probably plan months in advance and get thousands and thousands, and they'd be letting them off and whatever. And as kids, we'd get up super early the next morning, go and find all the ones that actually got lost in the dark and get those. So that was the Guy Fawkes. They went on for 15-20 years. It was a really, really, really popular. And I guess too, as I say, a lot of the entertainment was community based, and they'd have progressive dinners, for example, and they'd start off at, they'd all get put into groups, and all the parents, like that is, and then they'd be divided up, and they'd all end up at someone's place at the end, and basically, you know, everyone would be drinking more and more and more, and there'd be people driving into banks, and there's cars going up and down the valley, and so it was absolutely crazy. I guess too, yeah, I know, as I say, the school was very much, and because most people lived in the valley, and very few, it was quite a big thing to go out to town. It was always a big thing. And so I guess, yeah, a lot of the entertainment stayed in the valley. So there was always dinner parties, there's always the progressive dinners, a lot of the school-based things. In fact, when the new school building was being built, the new Primers building was being built, all the school had to move down to the Valley Hall, and it was in the middle of winter, and I can vividly remember it was so cold, because there's absolutely no heating there, and literally the wind blows up underneath the floorboard. So we'd be sitting there, and we'd all get there at 9 o'clock in the morning. The whole school had to go for a run just to walk up the road. So there's all these Primers and these grown up, the bigger kids, they're all running up the road huffing and puffing. I can remember just not feeling my feet, toes, all my fingers for until at least 11 o'clock on some of those frosty mornings. But yeah, it was in just about, I think it must have been at least three months there, right over the middle of winter. And so so the teachers were incredible, how they managed to carry on all the education. for that huge range of ages in the hall, which has, you know, very few facilities. Yeah, we moved all the desks down there while all the new buildings were being built. So, but
Who was building the buildings? Was it the locals? Or
The original schoolhouse was built by, I believe, by locals, but no, the new one wasn't. So, maybe I should put Maple outside. She's making a hell of a noise.